Hello and welcome to PokeSports, the competitive Pokemon podcast. I'm Mike and I play with one Pokemon on the field, finally.
I'm Kevin. I never miss a Hydro Pump.
Ladies and gentlemen, Pokemon Stadium, the pinnacle of Pokemon esports, has just dropped on Nintendo Switch Online. Go and download it if you have the Nintendo Switch Online
expansion
monthly thing plus your expansion pass. Yes. And you can go and play with people. It's a very, very interesting experience. Mm-hmm. Surprisingly more interesting than I thought it would be.
I'm surprised it works so well. Mm-hmm. Like the fact that it took us a little long to find out where we had to go. That's because we were trying to play in single player. But the way it works is that it creates a LAN bridge between two online switches. And then I guess one of the two people has to host it. And it's like you're sitting in, you know, next to your friend playing some Pokemon Stadium.
Yeah.
But you're not.
If you have a stable internet connection with your friend, you can go and connect like that. You have this little cursor too that you can move around. I thought that was kind of cool. You can like point to specific things. I should have done that during our battle. That would have been a lot of fun. But finally we can get some Gen 1 singles content like everybody has been asking us for this whole time. Whole time, really. So if you're on YouTube, you can go and check that out. It's coming out today, actually, later on after this podcast. And if you're on Patreon, you've probably already seen it because we have two battles, two 6v6 battles up on the Patreon. So that was a lot of fun. Let me list the ways in which Pokemon Stadium is currently better competitively than Scarlet and Violet, okay? Number one, if you disconnect, guess what you can do? You can get right back into the game. You just connect to your partner's Switch, and you're back in the game. It just treats you as a second player.
No way. It lets you reconnect.
Easy. It's too easy.
When you DC, you don't just lose the match. Wild.
Yeah. Now, the downside is that it's Gen 1, and the game has evolved a lot in the past 25 years, but that's something that we figured out while we were playing.
There's a lot of moves that I don't know existed. The special spreads, and you got to remember them because they are type-based, the special physical spread. Defense and special defense are tied to the attack and special attack. So that means that a Chansey does a bajillion damage with like Fire Blast and T-Bolts. So right.
Gen 1 was interesting because there was an exclusive defense stat, but special was wrapped into one. It's special attack and special defense. Yes. So my thunder is calculated off of my special. A thunder coming in, like an incoming thunder, is calc'd defensively off of my special.
This is an absolute disaster.
So Chansey was nasty. And the Chansey that we were playing with Minimize and with... You know what? Even though I used Minimize, you always hit your moves.
Because I hit Swift.
Oh, yeah. Because
I kept hitting Swift.
Because you had to bring the Pokemon with Swift. Yeah, cool. But anyway, I highly recommend Pokemon Stadium. We have not tried the mini games yet, but we absolutely will. And we'll probably be doing that on stream. I'm just going to stay up and pass midnight for you, Kevin. We'll just go and stream Pokemon Stadium one day. It'll be great. Why not? But we do have other non-Pokemon Stadium news to talk about. Although, admittedly, not much. Let's just talk about Pokemon Stadium this whole time.
The rest of the podcast.
But no. Ghost Terra Typhlosion, back to the present, is going to be available from April 14th through April 16th. And it will repeat April 21st through April 23rd. We're talking about the Terra Raid battles. So finally, they have rounded out the
Hisuian
starters, which can only symbolize that we're going to be getting home soon.
Listen, how many more months into the year do we have to get before early 2023 isn't early 2023 right. anymore? We are in April, which I guess can still constitute early 2023. I have a feeling we're not going to get this for a while. It
probably isn't going to happen.
If we see it before Reg C ends, I'll be surprised. But I don't know. It's nice that they're giving us the starters. They're giving us something. It's not like we're sitting here months into the game with no new Pokemon added. Would I like to see, you know, maybe Typhlosion in the meta next to a Chiyu with Scarfed Eruption? It's a thought. I'd like it. I'd like to see what happens, but sadly don't.
It's going to happen. At some point, it's going to happen.
Mono fire teams. All you need is Torkoal, Solar Power Charizard, and Scarfed Eruption Typhlosion.
I hate that that's a thing. I hate that that's a thing. I really, really do. Does Typhlosion have more special attack than Torkoal?
Yeah, Torkoal has very low special attack.
Really?
Torkoal's okay. Like 80 something.
Wow. Okay.
Torkoal's highest highest stat is actually its defense.
So we might be seeing Lilliflosion at some point.
Lilliflosion, this man just coined. yes. Okay. When you find a Typhlosion that could set Chlorophyll, let me know, Mike. I'll be impressed.
That's, you know what? You're right. I never thought of it. Yep.
Oh yeah. It's the sun.
Thing about Torkoal is that it boosts itself from the sun. Cool. Yeah. Cool. Fine. Okay. So at least then we have
Tailwind. You just wanted to say
Murkrowflosion. Yeah, I really did. Murflosion. That's a Murkrow and a Typhlosion or a Talonflosion, where you set up Tailwind and you hit Eruption.
Talonflosion.
You still don't have the sun up, but at least you have big damage. You can put on a choice
Murkrow
scarf.
Gets Sunny Day.
Murkrow gets Sunny Day. Sunny Day Prankster.
Stop theory crafting.
We're thinking about. Okay, so here's the play. All right. You set Murkrow and Typhlosion. Typhlosion protects the first turn. Murkrow goes for a Tailwind. Murkrow doesn't go down that first turn. We're just assuming that it does.
We hope.
Because they want to take down the Typhlosion before the Typhlosion can erupt.
Yes.
And then the second turn, you set up the Sunny Day, and then you erupt. Now, you can't run choice specs in this case, but you can run Charcoal just like a Torkoal, and it's just better. It does more and damage.
The next turn,
yes,
you swap in your Chiyu.
Yes,
you win the game.
Yes,
and then they swap in their Flash Fire Armor Rouge, and you lose.
Hey!
Oops!
We don't talk like that around here. We don't talk like that around here. Get out. But yes, so go and get your Ghost Typhlosions. Maybe you'll be able to use it when home comes out. Maybe you won't. Who knows?
Not us.
We're talking regulation C for now, not regulation D.
Regulation who?
Regulation me.
What would you do if next series comes around and they call it regulation or series 4?
Oh, I want that so bad.
Like, what if they just go back? They're just like, yeah, nah. Because they've already retroactively gone back and changed it to Regulation B on like the live podcast, the live streams and all that.
The live podcast. I do wish that they do that. They're just like, all right, we have Series 1, Series 2, Regulation C, and Series 4.
Which gets you thinking, why was 3?
Yeah.
Why did we stop here?
We have 5th mode or Gear 5 as... Whatever comes sick. The 6th is just be called Hexagon. Like
Hexagon.
Whatever. Yeah. We're shapes now.
We name it after polygons.
That's right. That's right.
The most exciting thing that happened to me this week.
Tell me.
Was that they released the sitting cuties for Unova on the Pokemon Center online.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Entertain the guests.
And what I ended up doing, I scrolled through a big handful of Pokemon, and I was really just thinking, what do I spend my money on? Uh-oh. Mike broke everything.
Everything.
I was thinking to myself, what do I spend my money on? What deserves my bottom dollar? Which Pokemon from Generation 5 is the way to go? And I chose Trubbish as the only thing that I purchased.
And it will be sitting with you at the next internationals.
At the next everything.
Regionals, Hartford, locals.
Milwaukee. I guess we should mention PokeSports will be going to Hartford and Milwaukee if you guys want to come say hi and hug us or something. I don't know.
Well, be careful with that. Just
Mike's like, don't touch me.
You know.
I don't want to be touched.
I do have my Keldeo. My Keldeo has arrived.
I don't know where mine is.
It is the Resolute form.
How did you get yours first?
They shipped it to Canada real quick, bud.
What the heck, man? Where's
I mean, they have to pass through New York, right?
Like, maybe. So you got Did you get anything else? I only got Trubbish.
I only got Kellyo.
Okay, good. At least we didn't waste all of our money.
No, only a little bit. What we did spend a lot of our money on was, as you mentioned, the tickets for Hartford and Milwaukee. We will also be going to NAIC, which, oh boy, that's going to be another big one. No idea
when we're getting signups for that, but considering the fact that we didn't even get an actual date or location until like last month, we probably won't get signups for that anytime soon.
They're probably still kind of figuring it out a little bit.
They might even change their mind.
Well, I do know that you highlighted this for me last time, that NAIC, to us, it felt really big last year when we went. Mm-hmm. But that one had less participants than most of the regionals that we've been going to.
Only 300-something players, yeah.
300-something players. Secaucus
only had 160.
That's crazy to me.
And now we're at 800-plus people.
800 for Orlando. So much more for Knox, or so much around that.
I think Orlando was still the highest.
Yes,
nothing beat Orlando. Okay, currently we're at 669 for Hartford.
Amazing.
All right, 401 for Milwaukee.
Oh my gosh.
And registrations are still both open for both things if you guys are considering going.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
RK9 Labs or RK9.gg. Look up RK9 Labs on Twitter. You'll find it.
But truly, for North Americans, the internationals are the place to be. If you're planning one trip this year that isn't Japan, because Nats. Japan's far too far for you, which is totally understandable, go to internationals. That is, for us anyway, it was the best event of the year. It was at the best time of the year. The weather was fantastic. The people were so cool. It was so great to see
everybody. The city wasn't bad. No matter what everyone says about Columbus, Ohio, it was around in a college town. We had a great time. We were on scooters.
It's a college town at a time where the college kids aren't there.
Yeah.
Because it's nice. In the summer where most of the people have it off. So it's a quiet time. It's great. So I'm really looking forward to that one again. Really looking forward to going back. Hopefully we can get a guest or two to come with us to record an in-person podcast, because that's what we did the last time at Ohio. I kind of want to make that at least some kind of tradition. I know we haven't been doing the in-person stuff in like regionals mostly.
We just skipped Orlando, I think, right?
We did skip Orlando.
Yeah, and then Knoxville
was a thing. I guess we could do for Hartford, but I don't know.
I don't know if there's a there might be a podcasting studio in Hartford. I've never been. But the problem with Hartford is that our Airbnb is severely far away from the city, because we're going with way too many people that we couldn't get one in the city. So maybe that one won't work. But I think with Ohio, if we can Airbnb in the same like college dorms that we were at last time, we can make it happen.
I really hope that we do, because those dorms were the best.
They were really nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. So speaking of internationals, we've got EUIC coming up this weekend from April 14th to 16th, much like the Ghost Typhlosion event. Europe has their international championships, and I would be so interested to hear how that goes for the people who are going there. So if anybody is listening to this who went to EUIC, please do mention in the Spotify Q&A how it went. I would love to hear from you.
And also, I think we said last week that there was no competitions happening for the month of April. We lied. EUIC is happening. It's that one. That's the one that we're talking about. we'll look over at the teams and who won probably sometime next week. But something interesting worth mentioning in the international championships is that it seems like Pokemon is releasing Pokemon from the winners of these international championships, because the winner of OCIC, Gavin Michaels, there's an event for his Palafin.
Oh.
That's going to happen at the time of EUIC. So that's really cool. Just in case 200 CP wasn't enough of an incentive for you to win, you know, people can get your Pokemon. That's cool. That's really nice. You want a Palafin and a Cherish Ball? That's actually pretty legit. A Palafin and a Cherish Ball is kind of nice.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. No, it's great that they're, you know, listening and watching their own content and being mm-hmm. like, okay, people are interested in this and people see that this won, and let's get this Pokemon out to people. Let's, you know, let them go and enjoy it.
That's kind of cool. Like, I wonder how much, like, say that my favorite Pokemon is Dondozo, for example, because I'm wearing the Dozo Bozo shirt.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, hey, I want a Dondozo and a Cherish Ball, but there's just no way to get one right now. I'm going to win EUIC so I can get a stupid Dondozo and a Cherish Ball in 3 months. And then everyone will thank me for it.
Yeah.
Also, speaking of shirts, we got a new t-shirt out, guys. Check it out.
Bookspost.org.
Hydro Miss.
Tell them about it.
So it's a blindfolded iron bundle, and it says never miss under it because of the... Cause it never misses, and sometimes you just got to believe it for it to come true. It's a really it nice design.
The newest design in the Never Miss series. Who knows however many we're gonna have more from that, so make sure you get them while you can over at bogeysports.org
slash merch.
It's a really good design.
I like really it. I already ordered mine. It's on the way.
There you go. Speaking of local events.
Okay. I
want to transition over to the episode Q&A from last week.
Oh.
Last week, I asked, have you ever been to a local event for a game you liked? What was the experience like? Yeah, there you go. I also gave people the opportunity to just kind of like say whatever you want in the Q&A, because I decide what gets published or not, and I still get to read all the things that people say. So looks like we've got one from Stuart. I'll just say their first names here, who says, I used to play Yu-Gi-Oh at locals until it turned out the game store was evading taxes. Then we moved to another locals in our next town over, but he closed down as well. 10 out of 10. And this brings me to the first segment of the show. Uh-oh, your business is bad.
Tax evasion with PokeSports. Welcome.
Tax evasion is not good, and you shouldn't do it. Take it from me, a PokeSports person. I don't know what that has to do with tax evasion. Nothing. IRS. But yeah, that's we really sad.
We do our taxes.
Exactly, yes. I can assure you that PokeSports does their taxes. That is really bad, because like one would think that card shops would be okay, but at the same time, nah. It's like it's physical product. Any kind of thing with physical product has the chance of, you know, dealing only in cash and kind of running into shady practices.
I feel like any kind of business nowadays that still takes cash can just have tax fraud.
Sure.
And they probably do. It just depends on whether you get caught or not. Again, we don't support that.
Listen, I mean, in Canada, one of the biggest tells is just if they don't have anything that takes card. And then the second biggest tell is if they don't take Amex. Because I know that American Express, it charges a lot more for a per transaction, but that's a whole other thing. So some people don't even offer it. But Amex is a big surge in Canada. I'm diverging so bad.
This is a preach talk right now. Follow us on Patreon if you want to hear more about tax evasion and credit cards.
Charles says, I've only been to a few, but they're always fantastic. We're very fortunate that the organizers in my hometown put so much effort into running locals. So this is the complete other side of the spectrum, where you've got the one side where you're cursed and every place you go is evading taxes and is defrauding the government. And then you've got the other side where it's just people who want to put in the effort and make a good time, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you are definitely privileged in the esport community if you live in a city that has a lot of people.
Right, sure.
That's just the truth, because if you're in the middle of nowhere, you got to get lucky that you have a TO that works there and mm-hmm. can host things for you.
I will say, much like the regionals that we go to, there is a lot more TCG presence, and TCG is much kinder to locals because their online presence is lacking.
Yeah. We play our game online. We need a physical electronic thing to connect to the internet to play our game. They don't. They need a bunch of cardboard.
Mm-hmm. I used to, back in the day, I want to say 2015, 2014, whenever the 3DS Pokemon was still big going on, I used to weekly subway transit myself over to Toronto and play in this one like underground card shop. It was like you had to go down a bunch of stairs.
Oh, literally underground.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought you meant underground, like no one heard of it.
No, it was like in the basement of another shop. I think it was still the card shop on the top floor, but like on the bottom, they had like storage and a bunch of desks for people to go and play at. And we used to have weeklies there and they were amazing. We used to get like at least 40 people out there every week and they were all good and we were all getting better off of each other. And it was cool to see.
It's kind of a similar thing when I was going to like Babylon, New York for, this is back when Liberty Garden was hosting VGC tournaments in New York. And I was going to school in Long Island. It was like my freshman year of college is when X and Y came out. So okay. I didn't have a car at the time. And for some reason, the closest local to me was like a 20-minute car ride, but an hour-long train ride and a 30-minute walk. So because it was just in the middle of just like, you know, a very nice town in Long Island. So the train only goes in one direction. You got to wait for it if you want to go the other direction. And then by the time you get off of it, remember, this is 2014. There was no Uber at the time. And if it was, I didn't have it on my phone. So we got off the train station and just walked 30 minutes to this local. We had no idea how the heck we were getting back home. We were thankfully, the thing is, we got there in an hour and a half, and I was happy enough to make friends while there with cars that can take me back to school. Sucker for Jessica, because she was one of the people with a car that he was able to drive me back to school when I needed him to.
Wow, that's amazing. Blast from the past. Jonah says, I used to run a local esports club for a school where we'd play all types of games. We even did a Sword and Shield VGC tournament. Also, Suicune using Sheer Cold was viable in Gen 4 and 5 VGC.
Thankfully, it wasn't in Pokemon Stadium.
Yeah, right.
Thankfully. It'll be there in 2, though, and I'll be terrified.
Sure. I don't know. Was Sheer Cold even a thing in Gen 2?
I mean, Guillotine was a thing in Gen 1, and so was Horn Drill, so I guess Sheer Cold was.
Oh, it looks like it came out in Gen 3.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah.
Came out with
Kyogre. So you're safe this time. But imagine when Suicune got Sheer Cold and everyone was like, gotta do it.
Anytime you give a tanky thing a one-hit KO move, it's like, who thought this was a good idea, Ting Lu?
Right? But I think it's really cool that we have people listening to the podcast who do run local events, not just participate in them, but they actually go the extra mile to put them together. And I think if you have the means to do that and you're able to spend the time or the resources to actually get it set up, like you're awesome if you go and do that.
There is no community without you.
Yeah.
That is the truth.
Then we've got a couple people who said that they haven't, but are looking forward to trying. We've got one here saying corrosion Pokemon cannot hit steel type Pokemon with poison damaging moves. So Glimmora will never be able to poison Goldengo with mortal spin. I thought that was explicitly what corrosion does.
Am I misinformed on corrosion?
Correction
corner. Corrosion.
Correction sports.
Corrosion allows the bearer to poison any Pokemon, including steel and poison types.
Okay. So I think we are incorrect with that.
Why?
Because that sounds like it can poison, not it can hit with poison.
Oh, so it still doesn't hit it with mortal spin.
Right. So it's still
immune. Technically it never poisons with mortal spin.
But you can like toxic a steel type Pokemon. But I think in the last episode we talked about using it on Goldengo, which has good as gold. So that ability negates the effect. So Goldengo can't be poisoned, nor can it get hit with a poison move.
Fascinating.
Matthew says, Charlotte was my first time at an event and it was great. I got to tap Kevin on the shoulder and say, Pokey Sports Kev, I'm a big fan. I'm Sergeant Nips. And it was magical. Oh, yeah.
I'd go to a moment.
Local. He says, I'd go to a local in the DMV.
You going to Hartford?
tap us on the shoulder again. We'll be there.
That's the thing with me. Once you go to your first, it becomes like a drug. Mm-hmm. It's like, I just always get an itch. Like every time I get home, you always have that post-con depression.
Sure.
But then you're just like, I just want to go and I want to go to another one now. Like, what am I doing at home? Take me to another regionals. Take me to another locals.
Yeah. Yeah. When's the next one? When can I go? Mm-hmm. After the event, I'll tell you, the night after the event, you don't feel like ever playing Pokemon ever again.
Nope.
That is the last time that you'll ever play Pokemon. And then you sleep it off. And then the next day you wake up and you're like, okay, I can go another. It's fine.
Yeah, pretty much. That's the day after. It's like, okay, time to build a new team. Yeah. Okay, I'm done with this one. Next.
Exactly. What is Violence 3.0 going to look like? Mason says, I played Yu-Gi-Oh! Competitively, and back in the day, we had 9 or 10 rounds of 45-minute rounds without a break. You had to figure out when to eat or brought something as the snack or someone as the snack person. I read someone as the snack, and I was like, I don't know if they meant to do that. Brought someone as the snack person. Pokemon is better. I agree.
45 rounds of a Yu-Gi-Oh! Game?
That's 45 weird. Minute. 9 to 10 rounds of 45 minutes.
Does Yu-Gi-Oh! Do like best of three also for the cards?
I don't know, but I think the games last a little longer. Yeah.
The shows last at least 30 minutes.
You know what?
Sometimes multiple episodes for one duel too. Like I'm pretty sure the Pegasus duel was like 5 episodes, 6 episodes.
Okay, but is this like Dragon Ball Z rules where like the fight is actually about 5 minutes, but we have 6 episodes to do that?
It might be. I mean, they're literally in the Shadow Realm half the time. Who knows how long things happen in there?
There's a lot of internal monologue going on.
I have been considering going back and watching Yu-Gi-Oh! In the Battle City because I remember that being my jam as a kid.
Really?
Jinzo was my dude.
You know what? Yeah,
Jinzo.
I think Yu-Gi-Oh! Really did hit a stride around then. Welcome to Yu-Gi-Oh! Sports.
Yeah, I mean, we're all over the place today. Mm-hmm. Pokemon Stadium gave us like goop brain.
it gave us this hyper energy that I think we're just kind of living in the moment with, and I'm down for it. Why not? But yeah, Yu-Gi-Oh! Hit a stride. The Pokemon anime finished as well.
Oh, it's like done?
It's not done. Like they did a new, they're doing a new season, but like the Ash saga is done.
Oh, Ash died?
Oh yeah, he's the last episode was wild, man.
Yo, Pikachu just got real angry.
Finally. Honestly, you kind of had it coming. Let's talk about the global challenge. But before we do, I want to advertise us real quick. Because we over on the Patreon have the league coming up this week. I believe signups are still open. Signups are still open and will be open until I want to say Friday morning, Friday, April 14th. So after that, you'll have to wait until the next 2 weeks to go and sign up for the next league that we're going to be doing at the weekend of the 28th to the 30th. But anyway, if you want to go and sign up for this one that's happening this weekend, make sure you do over at PokeSports Patreon. So patreon.com/PokeSports. It is the pinned post, the number one post there. Any patron on any tier can go and join.
Easy peasy.
Easy peasy lemon squeeze.
Regulation C battles, in case that wasn't obvious.
Regulation CZ. Let's talk global challenge. So this past weekend, Kevin and I both participated in the global challenge, which was a challenge meant to give CP to people all around the world, be it Japan, Spain, Portugal, New York, or Canada. Even Ohio.
Or even Ohio, yeah.
You know what? They could totally go.
The country of Ohio seceded from the United States just yesterday. You guys didn't hear the news?
It was wild.
They were huffing too much of that gas. They got crazy and seceded.
Oh, no. This challenge did give CP to not only the winner, but the top 1,024 people.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people all around the world. It was a question that came up once this week of, is this a regional thing? Like, does one person in each region get winner CP? No, it was one person in the entire tournament got winner CP.
But the thing that was confirmed to us is that the regions that don't participate in CP. So that's the Pokemon Asia. So that's China, Japan, Korea, etc. They aren't counted in the CP bracket, which is good. That means right. that technically you can still be 1,500 and still get CP because 500 plus Asia region players were above you.
Right.
And they don't count.
In Japan, what ended up happening was I believe the top 150 players qualified for the 2023 Japan National Championships.
Yeah, so this was like really big deal for them. They do things completely differently over there,
yeah,
which totally. Is kind of scary. I kind of like the way we do it a little bit better because I can't imagine only qualifying for nationals because of best of one. Swiss, I guess. It's not even Swiss. Sure. It's just random battles.
I didn't think of that because I like the whole idea of like the top 150 in this get to move on to like an online day two later on. But the fact that it's all best of ones is very unsettling.
And this has something to do a little bit with the way people look at the culture and team building.
Okay.
People notoriously have always said Japan teams are crazy. Because they've always implemented some tech that no one ever thought of. That's because it's best of one there. That cheese will win things sometimes, and that's worth it sometimes.
Not just best of one closed team sheets.
Yes, completely okay? closed.
So nobody's seeing what you're doing. Compare this to a regionals, compare this to a nationals. This is best of three. You have three chances to win with open team sheets from the get-go. Kevin and I participate perform much better in an open team sheet environment because we can look through the things really quickly, kind of figure out what people are going to do because that's kind of what we do on a day-to-day basis. We look at people's rental codes and we analyze what it's supposed to do. I didn't realize that actually until the beginning of this sentence. They're like, yeah, we kind of do that for a living.
But that's crazy because that gives me that much more respect for Japanese players and definitely. Korean players that are able to win world championships because they go from playing best of one, you know, closed sheets to then competing at worlds with open team sheets, best of three Swiss. It's a completely different mindset.
Right.
But I guess if you can play closed team sheets good, then open team sheets should be perfectly fine for you.
Sure. The person who ended up coming in number one was a player by the name of Star Sapphire VGC. And I don't actually know where they reside, but I know that they are the 2021-22 Hong Kong champion. So I would assume.
Yes, they're from Hong Kong.
There you go.
Pan Si Ming is their name.
Perfect. And although we don't have his rental code or his team that he used, he did mention inside of the Twitter post talking about his win that he won with a Talonflame and Goldingo. And Kevin, you had a fun remark when I mentioned that it was a Talonflame and Goldingo.
Welcome back to Series 1.
Welcome back to Series 1. I mean, hey, when you're playing a series that everyone is going kind of the same thing, if you find something that works that belongs in series one, go for it.
Also, Pan follows us on Twitter. So hi, Pan.
Hi, Pan.
If you're listening to this,
send us your team. We want to play it.
Give us the IVs.
Give us everything.
Give it to me.
Yes. So the winner of the global championships won 160 CP, which is more than half of their trip to Worlds, which is very, very interesting. Runner up got 130 CP, semifinalists 100, and then it goes all the way down to 513th to 1024th, which ends up with 5. If you were one of those people, I want to, and this is your first time winning CP, I know that feeling. It is a very good feeling the first time you look at your Play Pokemon account and see that you actually have CP
sitting there. See a number there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Feels good.
I do want to say if anybody is out there who feels that, who knows what I'm talking about, absolutely go and reach out because I'm right there with you. I don't think I actually qualified for that because I didn't do very well at all because I just went in very last minute with my team. How did you do, Kevin?
So, I'm sad.
Okay.
But mostly because I was actually in contention for CP until I played my day three.
Oh, no.
And it's so sad. Yeah, I know. My day one went really well. I have it all written down. I went 11-4 day one. But the thing is, here's my biggest issue with what happened. What happened is I locked my team in very early.
Ah.
Like 4 days before the actual event. And by the time I got to day of, I realized my team had a struggle against Chiyu Fluttermane leads if the Chiyu decides to fire Terra. And then I can't set Trick Room up. And I'm a hard Trick Room team. So the way I did that was by adjusting Terra types and adjusting a fast mode onto my team. I didn't get to play with that new team, so I was kind of stuck with my hard Trick Room team that had like a very difficult matchup, and people realized it. So my day one was 11-4. My day two was 20-10. I ended with 16-50 as my rating, which was enough for CP. I think 16-25 was the lowest CP bar. But then on day three, I could have stopped day two and gotten CP is what I'm trying to say. Yeah. On day three, I trubbished the bed. I don't know what I did. I went 27-18. I don't typically get bad at video games. I cracked my controller on the desk. It's not good. It's not a bad thing. It reminded me of League. I was like, oh, why am I so angry? And that's because I care.
It's because I was
at CP and I choked. I let it all go away.
So you went 7-8 on that second day.
Yes.
Okay.
Which is just, you know, bad for me.
I guess, but yeah. It's also kind of the win rate that most people would assume if you win, mm-hmm. you know, going as close to 50% as possible.
Some people might not consider 27-18 a bad score. I almost, you know, went even.
Right.
Won as twice as much as I lost, but I was close. The problem is I was there and I just had to stop and I didn't stop. I played 15 more.
And so this is just another, I guess, hard lesson of you don't always have to play all 15 of your games.
Yeah.
Because for the global championships, for those who don't know, you do get 15 games a day to go and earn points. And whoever ends up with the most points is the one who wins the game. It looks like now that they put like a decimal system in there. I don't know if that was always there or if it was always visible.
No, they just added it this time around.
Right. Probably because of the amount of players that they really needed to go minute with it. But the winner, Star Sapphire VGC, ended up with 1853.26 points.
Yikes.
After 37 games.
I wonder what it's like to win that much. How many losses did they have? They probably only had like 3 or 4. Probably not that many at all.
That's a very good question. I'm very curious.
Very good player.
Yeah,
good job.
Very, very good player. They say at first the goal was only 1800 and top 30, but it went unexpectedly smoothly. So I decided to try and reach the first place.
Russ said he was too good. He didn't stop.
Yeah, right?
I would have stopped the second I was shooting for 17 because I knew 17 guarantee CP. I was like, the second I get to 17, I'm fine.
How do you know that?
Just kind of, you can see what your current rating is, like your current ranking is. And as long as you're around top, like I saw that I was 1,500 in 1650.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, let's try to shoot for 17 because then I know I'll be top 1,000. It's kind of that. You just kind of look at where it is, look at how far you have to go, figure out where you stand.
So your goal was 5 CP.
My goal was any CP, bro. I like, look, I tried.
No, I don't hate you for it. I think
played 45 games of this nonsense for nothing.
Right. I do think that like just aiming for some kind of reward is definitely valuable. Like, yeah. We can't all aim for first. We're not all going to aim for first. We're not all going to get first. So, you know, go as high as you can, however high as you think you can go. Personally, I don't think that I'm coming anywhere near the top 10 because I'm not nearly as consistent as they are. But can I live inside the top 1,000? Maybe. If I spend enough time with my team and I, you know, go hard with it, maybe.
Thing is, I was so starved from CFP after bubbling by like 20 spots in Charlotte, and I don't want to go talk about the 6-3 fiasco again, but everyone knows I'm upset about it. But, you know, I was starved for CP. I was like, maybe if I get 5, I'll feel a little better. I could change my Twitter bio to 45.
You know what? It will happen for us eventually. One point. Yeah. One of these regionals, we are going to do surprisingly well because we are going to prepare. We are going to practice and we are going to, you know, have a good time with it. But I do think that now for us specifically, we have kind of started to develop this group of players who are always practicing and like kind of keeping each other, you know, wanting to practice.
So many showdown replays in a day.
Lots of showdown replays. I think the next step for that group is for us to actually start playing against each other. Because that's what all of the best players are doing, is they're playing against each other and like critiquing each other's teams and like saying what they can be doing better.
Mm-hmm. Taking wins off each other, humbling each other. Sometimes you got to get humbled.
Absolutely. There was a time where I was trying to learn Marvel versus Capcom 3. And like I bought the control stick and all that. Like, and my buddy who was like winning tournaments, just lived like a couple minutes away. I would go over to his house. I'd bring my fight stick over and I'd play a couple games. And he told me the best thing you can do to get better is just to get bodied as many times as possible. Because one, it teaches you that losses happen. And two, it teaches you how those losses happen if you're willing to learn from the losses.
Yeah, that's another thing when it comes to like VGC too, because there has to be a winner, there has to be a loser.
Mm-hmm.
You can be a very good player. You can be Joe UX9, you can be Paul Chua, you can be Pangy. But if Pangy and Joe are playing each other, one of them has to win, one of them has to lose.
That's right.
Doesn't matter.
That's right.
Good. You know, there always has to be a winner and loser. Same thing goes with like, you know, you were saying Marvel versus Capcom or something, the fighting game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 1v1, isn't it? Has to be a winner, has to be a loser. Doesn't matter how good you are.
That's right. That's right. All of these tournaments, they show who is the more consistent winner. But, you know, at the end of the day, this is also a game of chance at some points.
Especially if you're Ting Lu,
that, yes, but even with the moves that are sure hits, even the damage calculations are a range.
Yeah.
Right. Sometimes you just lose because your opponent lives at one. Often I lose because my opponent lives at one. Like that, it just kind of happens. Critical hits are a thing in this game. Burn chances, para chances, freeze chances. It feels like freeze happens much less often, but when it happens, it hurts.
It sucks.
It sucks.
That reminds me of something that Pierre said. I don't know if it was the day before or today. Mm-hmm. He said, I won this game, but I won because I hit a fissure, so I don't actually feel good about this win. It's like yeah, I get that. Like, yeah. Did you actually find an answer to that team, or did you just hit fissure? Like, yeah, you won, but maybe that was your win con.
Right?
It's like when I'm playing Trick Room and they hit a double protect. Because the thing with Trick Room is, like, you really only get 2 turns to do damage because they hit protect the other 2 turns.
Mm-hmm.
So when they hit a double protect sometimes, that is literally their win condition. And I lose because of it, because my two turns to do damage is turned into 1 turn to do damage.
Right.
So it's like, oh, okay, I guess I just lost because of that.
Here's something I'll say. There are moves out there that have a certain chance to hit, a certain chance to miss. Maybe they always hit, whatever.
Maybe
they always miss. The only thing that is assured in this game is your choice to put those moves on that Pokemon. So things like Ting Lu hitting a fissure, you made the choice to put fissure on that Ting Lu. And you winning 30% of the time was because you made the choice to put that on that Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
So, you know, hitting 4 protects in a row, yes, it has a very small chance of happening, but it has a chance of happening because you made the choice to put it on there. And that is what makes a good player a good player, is the people who will choose to put certain moves on certain Pokemon, knowing that sometimes certain things will happen. And then you just need that little bit of serendipity to make it happen.
I'll tell you what, I'm real close to putting Flamethrower on my Chiyu. I'll tell you that right now.
Really?
That's the one that's tilting me, is Heatwave misses. It's 90% accurate. Doesn't feel that way.
Wow.
I'm really close to putting Flamethrower on it, dude. You have no idea. It's like, it's there. I'm like, I'm considering it. But that spread damage is nice, though, sometimes. I might just have both. At that point, I'm just like, maybe I just don't want to miss right now.
Hmm. I do kind of speak it into existence. And people will notice this if they watch enough of the YouTube videos where... That's like content, if somebody uses a rock slide, I always go in assuming that it's going to miss one of my Pokemon.
Oh,
every single time.
If they go for it.
If I go for it, opposite. No, I'm always hitting. No, for sure.
I'm the opposite. I'm always missing. And then it happens.
Oh. You play the pessimist route.
Yeah, I apparently people. It's so funny how many comment sessions that say Kevin is such a good player. If only he hit his moves. Like, if only he hit his moves. But
you gotta practice more.
I got practice. I just didn't train my Pokemon in accuracy. Excuse me.
That's it.
Gotta put 252 in accuracy.
Imagine if that was a stat, huh?
I'd have it on every Pokemon.
Yeah, I would have to.
I'd get me to 99 accuracy and then be mad when I missed.
Right. Every one of those Pokemon, I guess Serena is the only one that I can really think of, where most of the moves that are good on Serena have to do with a little bit of a mischance. If you could put an accuracy stat on Serena, that Pokemon would be a Brokemon.
It's called Wide Lens, Mike. It exists already.
But now you don't have to put on Wide Lens. Now you can put on something else. You can put on an assault vest. Yes, assault vest on Serena would be so good.
Does Serena get Ice Spinner? Why do I feel like it should?
I feel like it hasn't been.
What? Serena has no ice moves. That's why it's not getting played. They got rid of Triple Axel and didn't give it Ice Spinner.
Oh, that's nuts.
It has legs. It could spin on those.
Does Triple Axel still exist?
It was a move tutor in Sword and Shield, so we'd have to wait until DLC probably to see if they bring it back.
Why does the Bulbapedia page show a Iron Hands getting hit with it? 404 error. No.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Does that mean Pokemon learn it naturally? I mean, Expanding Force is a tutor move that just so happens to have Armor Rouge learn it.
Oh, it has a section in Bulbapedia that says Triple Axel is programmed into Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, but cannot be selected in battle as no available Pokemon can learn it. However, it can be called by Metronome.
Oh, maybe that's how that happened.
I think that DLC will have a move tutor.
Absolutely. They always do. Maybe not the first one, but the second one. Or maybe the first one does have it. I remember Isle of Armor having it.
They had some moves and then...
Isle of Armor gave us the terrain moves, right? It gave us Rising Voltage, Expanding Force, Grassy Glide, and... Misty Explosion. That was the one.
Explosion. Yeah.
That was the bad one that was used. Ooh,
I can't wait for the deal. I'm very excited for the DLC now because that's going to have move tutors. And move tutors always shake up the game. I love it when that happens. I love to see it. Yeah.
Hype.
All right. So, folks, there's a lot going on in the PokeSports world these days. So we would love, love, love it if you could go and show some support where you can. If you're on YouTube or if you want to go and check us out on YouTube, you can do that at youtube.com/PokeSports. We put out a whole bunch of new stuff. If you're watching this on the day that this podcast comes out, then stay tuned for later today where we'll be putting out our first Pokemon Stadium battle. I'm hesitant, nervous of how well that's going to do, but I do know that it was a lot of fun. Kevin just killed a fly on his arm.
Yes, I did.
Nice job. I do want it to do really well because it's singles content. We haven't put out singles content like ever on the channel.
It's probably 3 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably about that. So if you like that kind of stuff, please do go show some support on that video. Cause it would be really cool to see. Also go and subscribe to us on Twitch or follow us on Twitch, twitch.tv/pokesports, because we will be streaming that and the actual Sword and Scarlet and Violet game that we love so dearly over there as well. It's a great place to talk to us live. Then, of course, follow the podcast. You're doing that already.
Pokesports.info in your address bar.
That's
gives
right.
you literally everything.
Literally
we,
everything.
We can't make it any easier.
Yeah. But I do just want to highlight the YouTube, Twitch specifically, and the podcast. Those are my three things that are closest to my heart at the moment.
That's Mike's babies.
Those are my babies. So yes, pokesports.info for all of that good stuff. Kevin, what have you got going on this week?
This week I got a Malamar battle versus Mocha.
Yay.
Where we're not allowed to use Pokemon that are level ups. So we are only allowed to use Pokemon that are not level up. So Firestone, so Thunderstone, things that aren't through level up.
Not
so King Gambit is allowed, but Charizard isn't allowed, for example.
Okay.
Because King Gambit, you have to like kill the Bisharps.
Right.
You can't just level up and evolve.
Interesting.
It's a very weird one. It took a very long paragraph to explain it to me, but
but that's,
I get it.
That's the beauty of Malamar Cup, right?
It's
very weird limited. Rules that you never really see anywhere else.
So yeah, we were able to actually build a pretty fun team with the Dunsparce and Jolteon with Pin Missile to proc rattled.
The Dunsparce
oh is coming back. It's being used. Honestly, I took a look at for my violence team,
yes,
that I plan to be bringing to regionals, because I just get so sick of protects. I was like, what's the only thing in the game that can break through protect? Hyper Drill. Then I looked at the Dunsparce's stats and I changed my mind. But that got me thinking. I imagine a world,
okay,
where Urshifu, Rapid Strike, and Chen Pao are allowed on the same team and you can crack through protects and they cover each other's weaknesses kind of well.
And we will leave you with that. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Oh, bye.
Pain.
The world will know pain.